Joining us is Adina Feinstein, a Master Astronomy graduate student at the University of Chicago who has helped discover a planet. Adina, thanks for joining us. And first of all, tell us about this planet. This is a very exciting discovery.
Yeah, so this planet is about 1.9 times the size of Earth, which doesn't sound super exciting at first, but we actually only know of about a handful of planets with this radius. The second thing that makes this planet interesting is that it has two stars. So we're not entirely sure how that has impacted this planet, what it looks like, how the planet formed. That's pretty exciting. And then also, this planet was helped discovered by citizen scientists. So your average Joes, go to work, come back, start looking for planet transits or dips in light that we see from a star. And they pointed us to this planet, which is probably the most exciting result from it, in my opinion.
So let's talk about that. How did these citizen scientists, these volunteers, what did they do to help you find this planet? You talked about, the transit and the dip in light, but this is a fascinating story and how they were able to go through the data and find what you weren't able to find for whatever reason.
Yeah, so the citizen scientists used a platform online called Exoplanet Explorers. It's still open, so anybody who wants to continue to help find planets can do so. What we do is we provide them with diagnostic vetting plots. So we provide them with the light curve, which is the amount of light that we measure from a star over time. And we zoom in and we fold it over what we believe the period of the planet would be. So if we see a transit in the light curve, it will occur regularly as the planet orbits around the star, and we can fold it on that. And if there's something there, then the computer will do a good job of modeling it, and the citizen scientists will mark it as something that is essentially a planet transit if the data points follow the model from the computer.
Now, you talked about essentially average Joes helping you out. Is that really true? Could someone like me, who maybe isn't a scientist and maybe has an interest in astronomy but isn't really an expert, could I be one of those volunteers, or could someone out there who's listening who's interested in astronomy and say, hey, I'd like to help discover a planet too. Can they take part in this too?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reason why we have this platform. We want to get everybody involved in science who's interested. We run you through actually a tutorial on what exactly you're looking for. It's about five steps that you go through instructions, and then you're good to go. You're good to start looking at planets.
So how does one go about doing that? How do you join up? How do you sign up?
Yeah, so if you go to zooniverse.org, search on that platform Exoplanet Explorers, or there's another platform called Planet Hunters that people can also use. You make a login and a username, and then you just go right ahead. It's really straightforward.
Let's get back to the fact that this is sort of, a lot of people refer to this as Earth 2.0 or something like that. It's similarity to Earth, even though it is twice the size. Just how likely is it that this planet is similar enough to Earth that it could be called Earth-like?
It's not very likely. So planets that fall between 1.5 times the size of Earth and 2 times the size of Earth are believed to be a transition zone between rocky terrestrial planets and gas planets like Neptune and Uranus. So things that have a very thick atmosphere that life like ours on Earth would not be able to live on. And so there have been articles that have picked up like, oh, there could be water on this planet. Oh, there could be life on this planet. And it's very unlikely that this is actually the case.
So let me ask you this. You talk about the fact that we don't find, or we haven't found so far, a lot of planets that are somewhat similar to ours in size, at least, and maybe density. Does that mean that we're an exception in the universe, or is it just that we don't have the technology yet to find more planets like ours?
We currently don't have the technology to measure the masses and therefore the densities of planets like ours. We are able to find planets of the same size or even a little bit smaller to Earth from the transit method, so looking at the dips in the light curve. But in order to measure mass, we have to do an additional follow-up, and the technology just isn't there to be able to do that yet.
And how unique is it for a Master Astronomy grad student at any school, let alone the University of Chicago, to help discover a planet? Is that a fairly typical thing for a student at your level, or is this very unique for you?
That's a good question. I never thought of it that way. I guess my project, so this project was actually based at NASA Goddard. I was an intern there going into my senior year of undergraduate. And there's so much data out there that anybody who's interested in transits could very easily get involved in finding new exoplanets. And so it doesn't feel uncommon for students to be able to go out there and help find exoplanets via this method. But my mentor, Josh Schleter at Goddard, he did a really good job pushing for this release. And so the opportunities that I have now because he pushed for this is fairly uncommon for someone at my level.
It has to be one heck of a thing to put on your resume, though.
Yeah, it's great because I am applying to PhD programs now, and I'm assuming that admissions committees will probably Google my name, and now they'll have things to see.
Now, people who've been reading about this have seen this unusual name. You know, when we think of planets, we think of Earth or Neptune or Mars or Vulcan or something that is a little easier to say than the name of this planet. What is the name of this planet, and how did it get its name?
So the name of this planet is K2288bb, which is quite a mouthful to say. The reason why this planet is named what it is due to convention. So the entire system, so the two stars and the one planet, are called K2288, and it's named after the K2 mission, which is the mission that observed the transit. The lettering, so the first letter B is capitalized, and capital letters represent which star in the system it's orbiting. So the larger star is K2288A, capital A, and so the B represents that it orbits the smaller star in the system. And the next B, so K2288B, lowercase b, signifies that it is the first planet in the system.
Any chance we could just give it a simpler name and call it Adina?
I really wish. I think that would be super cool, but we stick to what is already done by the rest of the astronomy community.
Adina Feinstein, the master graduate astronomy student from the University of Chicago, who has helped discover an exoplanet. Adina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.